Moncrief on News Talk.
At the weekend, the man who invented the world's first karaoke machine died. And as if to prove that singing is good for you, Shigeichi Nagishi lived to be 100. Or perhaps he lived to be that great age by not subjecting himself to screeching versions of Sweet Caroline or Bohemian Rhapsody. News Talks, You Haven't Got a Note in Your Head correspondent Henry McKean went out to discover just how deluded some people are. Good afternoon, Henry.
Good afternoon, Sean. And just to give a warning to the listeners, there will be some screeching. There will be some poor singing coming
up.
To let you know. This Sparco box, it was called back in 1967. And what he did was he hooked a spare tape deck up to a microphone and a mixing circuit so he could hear himself over the music. And it was basically through a car stereo. And then this prototype was born. There's now 130,000 karaoke bars in Japan. And he really did discover something completely new. And karaoke, believe it or not, translates as empty orchestra. And it definitely is that. He never patented either. Anyone can copy it, and they did. And this industry over in Japan is worth 3 billion euro or 400 billion yen.
Oh God, did he have any, I wonder.
Well, I think he did well. I think he had no issue. I mean, lived to 100. I think he lived in luxury. I think he did okay.
But he didn't get to
keep all the money. Here is another fellow karaoke lover like myself. Here's Today FM's DJ Ian Dempsey.
It really is the simplest ideas that work the best. Karaoke. Everybody knows it. Everybody loves it. We've all had a go from time to time. This guy invented this in 1967 as well. Shigeichi Nagishi. He's my hero. I didn't know who the hell he was until over the weekend when I was reading about him. And now I've done all kinds of deep diving into his life and times. He was an electrical engineer. He was tinkering about all the time, trying to come up with new ideas all the time. And he was also a terrible singer. And he used to sing at work, and his work colleagues used to be giving out about him and saying, would you ever shut up? So he decided to try and come up with a little machine whereby he could have the microphone and then he could have the music in the background, mix them all together, and then everybody sounds great. So he came up with it all those years ago. And the rest is history, as they say. I mean, we've all been there. We've all been on stage. My own go-to one would be Elvis Presley's The Wonder of You. From time to time, I like to sing that and blast it out. It's always good to get a song that everybody kind of knows the backing for, and they're able to sing along with you. So you end up not really having to do that much work when somebody knows the song so well. I do remember going for a particular song, and I remember it was a really rocky song, like a Bruce Springsteen or a Bon Jovi sort of song, and I wanted to have that there, and I wanted to make it very anthemic, and the guy pressed the wrong numbers on the machine to get the actual song up there, and so I thought I was coming out to do something like You Give Love a Bad Name or one of these songs from Slippery When Wet by Bon Jovi, and it turned out to be Soft Cell, Tainted Love. Ooh. But I kept going. Oh, I kept going all the way. Don't you worry about it.
Yeah. Okay. He didn't like give you an old blast of The Wonder of You. Does Ian Dempsey do a kind of an Elvis lip snarl thing when he's singing?
I think he's...
you know, that kind of thing.
I think he's brilliant at singing. There goes my throat there.
I've never heard him singing. Where have you heard him singing?
No, but I'd say he is. I'd say he's absolutely brilliant. I've never heard him singing. I've only heard his dulcet tones on the radio.
This is like spotting, you know, Princess Kate at a shopping centre
One of those farm shops to look for her.
Yeah.
She did look
I didn't
quite
know
slim.
What I saw. There was close-ups. Didn't look like her at all.
I thought that too. I thought it was just a skinny girl with a plastic bag. But yeah,
But would she really be doing her own shopping? You know, did she say to your man, let's nip down for some chops?
But like people love a farm shop. And, you know, remember that the royals don't always carry money.
So farms?
Well, they do. They've got it all. They've got the whole lot.
Yeah. Anyway, sorry. Off topic there a bit.
She probably loves a bit of karaoke.
It is an amazing. Yeah, that would be good. It is an amazing invention. Mm-hmm. And like the Japanese totally have made a thing out of it. I don't know when it was it started spreading around the world, really, because would it have been Man invented it?
I think 1967 it was invented, but it was the 80s when it took over. Like, I did my J1 backpacking around Hawaii in the year 2000, and it was full of karaoke bars. So, in Waikiki, it's half American tourists and half Japanese, all muddled together. So there was loads of karaoke bars, and that's kind of when I fell in love with it. And I think so many Americans head over to Hawaii, that's, you could say, their Grand Canaria or their Santa Ponza.
Yeah.
So they love it. So I did get to have I had a chat with these Americans, and I asked them what their go-to song is.
Bonnie Raitt, 'cause I can make you love me if you don't, and you can make your heart feel something it won't. Here in the dark, in these final hours. There you go.
Beautiful voice.
Not so great, but you know, off the riff.
Where did you get that voice from?
Heaven.
Heaven gave it to you. Or maybe the parents.
Yes, that's it.
So you love karaoke, and that's your go-to karaoke?
That's my go-to, but you know, I haven't warmed up, and I just, you know, I don't know the key offhand. That's the best I could do. But thank you.
And would you do more than one song, or just get up and do that one?
That's basically my song. Oh, I like to do Bruno Mars. Bruno Mars is good.
Can you sing Bruno for me?
This here's that ice cold, I'm still having an ice cold. This is the good girls and masterpiece. Styling, wilding, living it up in the city. Got that throne and he's wrong. Gotta kiss myself, so pretty. I'm too hot, hot damn.
That's great. Just like that, in the streets.
Yes, that's all I've got for you, my dear. Thank you.
Tennessee Whiskey. How does it go? It goes, you're as smooth as Tennessee whiskey. You're as sweet strawberry wine.
You see, what puzzles me about this is I thought karaoke was a particular contextual experience in that you had to have a karaoke machine and, you know,
and drink on you.
And seven shots on board before you got so. But these people just, you know.
They just broke into song in the streets.
You were just like backing away with your microphone going, yes, thanks for your ninth version of that song. Somebody wants to know, how come karaoke machines have never Bring Your Daughter to the Slaughter by Iron Maiden? God knows why. Probably wokeness, I suspect. Johnny says, I worked as a bartender in Trebalgan Holiday Centre back in the early 90s. Karaoke must be the world's worst form of entertainment ever. Completely head-busting. Well, that's probably, if you have to listen to it day after day and you're sober.
Highly entertaining. Yeah. I love it.
Are there many karaoke bars in
there's
Ireland?
There's a few. There's not that many. I thought there'd be a lot more. And I haven't found myself inside a karaoke bar for quite a while. And I know it's a good night. And this particular one, it's called the Manaki Japanese Restaurant and Karaoke Bar on Dawson Street in Dublin. State of the art. Absolutely beautiful. Fancy leathery booths and yummy food. And huge. And you can get a really, really big room. And they've got these computer screens, touch screens. And I think, you know, you mentioned Bring Your Daughter to the Slaughter. I didn't check to see if that one was there. And a lot of these songs that we love, that we absolutely love, like, for example, my go-to is Pulp. I love Pulp, Common People.
Yes,
It wasn't there.
Oh, because you can kind of talk that song. Yeah.
And you've got to remember, like, songs are harder than you think, you know, much, much harder if you don't know them. And they can be really fast and really slow, and they can be, you know, quite pitched. Anyway, here is William Viante. He's from Brazil. He works there. He showed me around.
Manaki Japanese and Restaurant. And we're in a room here. And it's padded. Oh, I think I've accidentally switched on some Tokyo music there. This is the real thing. A proper karaoke bar in the heart of the capital. What is it you love about karaoke?
What I love about karaoke is like that you can just have like your own room with your own friends, and you can have like your own party in a private karaoke room.
You're originally from Brazil. The Brazilians love karaoke, don't they?
Yes, they love. And actually, my girlfriend, she's half Japanese, and as she's Japanese, the Japanese people, they love karaoke. We got like many Japanese people here. And as my girlfriend is half Japanese, so she loves karaoke as well.
So the inventor of karaoke died 100 years of age. He started out, it was built into a car, and it went from there. All these years later, did you think would still be loving karaoke?
I think so. It's most like Asian people, as I said, like Japanese born. It's not too common in Dublin for Irish people. Like, I don't think it's like famous here, but of course it's famous in Japan.
William, we've got the touch screen here. Yeah. Can I choose a song?
Yes.
So do you know what I would love? I would love, oh, we've got loads of Japanese artists, but I would love Common People by Pulp. Do you think we might be able to find that? Well, I use the touch screen, so I'll just put in Pulp there.
It's just initials, like it's Paul.
P-U-L-P.
Paul, and then his surname?
They're just called Pulp. So we're just going through here. So we've got Paul McCartney, the Pet Shop Boys, Perry Como, and Pixie Lott, you name it. Oh, we don't seem to have it. I can't believe it.
Well, you did name it, and they didn't have it.
No.
So that's a...
I really wanted to play it.
That's a bit of a shame.
I love that.
Orla says, I ended up in A&E from singing karaoke. I was singing Garth Brooks' Friends in Low Places, and during the breakdown, I jumped on the table. The table broke, and I broke my leg and bruised my jaw. We used to have karaoke nights at Carbon in Galway, and I had to get rid of it because it was the same people coming in all the time, butchering songs. That's the thing, though. There is, yeah, probably...
Oh, there's some butchers out there.
Yeah, but there are people who are hogs as well. Let me.
Three or four songs.
I'll keep doing it. So so they didn't have your song, which leads us into our mandatory Paddy Colvin.
But this is it. Paddy Colvin, he loves it. And he does have a new show. I think it's in Belfast and in Dublin. I can't believe it's not Ireland. This Friday in Taylor's Hall, Dublin. PaddyColvin.com. Here he is, his love, talking about his history and his love of karaoke.
My first experience of karaoke was in the early 90s when I was going to the National College of Art and Design on Thomas Street. Our local bar was The Clock, and of course everybody in NCAD was not only trying to be the world's greatest artist but also the world's greatest singer. On a Wednesday night in The Clock, we'd head in and Pierce Butler would run the most incredible night. He was a brilliant singer himself, and then everybody else would get up and try and outdo each other. My song was, of course, Whole Lot of Love by Led Zeppelin. My friend Amanda Brady would sing Rainy Days and Mondays by the Carpenters and Bring the House Down. And, of course, it was just great, great fun. But, of course, a lot of people could sing, which was great. The only problem with karaoke and its egalitarian nature is most people can't sing. So when I'm invited to a karaoke night with a bunch of, sorry to say, regular people, it's very daunting for me as someone who does like to sing and like to hear music done well. Of course, when boy bands came along and ruined everything, they were essentially karaoke themselves, singing to their own backing tracks of their own numbers or cover versions. But I had to give in eventually, doing my own one-man shows where I sing songs. I had to use backing tracks too. I can't bring a band everywhere with me, even though I do have a band. But the great thing with the backing tracks and karaoke is that, you know, you don't have a drummer setting up for an hour who's too loud, or a guitarist who's too loud, or all the rest of it. Later on, there was a great rock karaoke set up by Martin Thomas in the Village in Dublin, and that was a remarkable thing, and a lot of kind of celebrities would come and do it, as well as the regular punter. Highway to Hell was my song there. I suppose I just like showing off singing rock songs. That's basically the way it is. But of course, these things were marvellous. Arlene's Grocery in New York had a live band karaoke. So karaoke, I suppose, what is it? It's an educational tool. I learned how to entertain people with it. I learned how to get an audience going. So I suppose as a training tool, it's great. I'm sorry to hear the inventors died. Now, if someone could just invent AI musicians who go out and do my gigs for me, I'd love that. Get me his name.
That was Paddy Colvin. I think they shouldn't allow, because Paddy Colvin's a musician.
Yeah.
So he shouldn't be allowed into a karaoke room. That's you know.
Because they're like, too talented. They're too good.
No, but that's like, you know, you have the under 12s hurling team and then, you know, some inter-county player comes in and plays with them. That's not fair.
Well, then Stock Aitken and Waterman, was all karaoke, really. I mean.
Well, I mean, they knew how to program stuff. They could do stuff with computers. Maybe they should combine karaoke bars and escape rooms. They would be great for stag and hen nights, but no one would make it out alive.
Wow.
I see, it's an interesting idea, right? That you know, you're put into a room with someone with a terrible voice who then
caterwauls their way through a hits and you have to try and find a way out. That would be interesting, actually. Yeah, that would be a form of torture.
And you'd be there for hours and no escape and so, work out the riddle.
If they don't have common people, what's your number two choice?
I haven't said this before on the radio.
Yes.
I'm a closet Christopher fan. I like him. Never actually met him, seen him from a distance.
Yeah.
I think
he listens to this show. Yeah.
Does he?
He's very aware of it.
I love Lady in Red. I just think he's so talented. I think he's living in Wicklow. But anyway, here are people in the streets and their favourite karaoke songs.
Delilah, Tom Jones.
Why do you love that one?
Because I'm a Welshman.
So do you have to have it after a few drinks or would you just go straight in?
Go straight in. Don't drink, so go straight in.
What do I love about karaoke? I love when someone's really bad at karaoke and they think they're really good.
A bit like me, I'm terrible. But I do love it. Your favourite?
Kanye West, Gold Digger.
Gold Digger?
Yeah.
That's quite difficult to get into the rhythm, isn't it?
Oh, no, not if you like your Kanye.
It'll have to be Proud Mary, Tina Turner.
You love that.
Yeah,
but that's a quick song. It's quite
very
hard.
Quick song. It gets everyone going, though. Everybody knows the words and the actions as well. You know, feel like you're in the panto when you're getting people to do the actions. It's good. It's a really good one.
So can you give us a bit of Proud Mary now?
No.
A little bit, just a tiny bit? Because it starts slowly and it builds up and then it gets faster and faster.
I could probably do like the chorus where it's just the rhythm. It's like da 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 da
da da da. You're in a band. You have a guitar strapped to your back. Tell us about your band.
Yeah, we're from Wicklow. We play kind of alternative rock indie music.
Karaoke, is it okay for you?
I wouldn't personally do karaoke often, but I can see the draw. See why people enjoy it.
Are you a karaoke man?
No.
Ah, come on, you must love it, surely.
I can't sing, so I don't put myself or anyone through that pain of listening to me sing.
Do you sing in the shower?
No.
Do you sing with a few drinks on you?
Oh, no, I do like an old ballad session.
So a ballad session, would you do some ballad sessioning at a karaoke bar like the one behind us even?
I wouldn't say so, but you never know. A few drinks, you never know what could happen.
Valerie by Amy Winehouse.
Can you sing it for me?
No.
So that's your go-to?
Yeah, definitely my go-to.
And do you still visit karaoke bars? Or at home, do you have a karaoke machine?
I don't have a karaoke machine, but there's one in Dicey's, so I go there and bust a song out every so often.
So you head over to Dicey's and bust one out. Do you bust one out too in Dicey's?
Not really, no. There's a karaoke feature in my dad's car.
So he has a karaoke feature in his car?
Yeah.
What sort of car is it?
Tesla.
And I understand the maker, the inventor of karaoke, that's how it all started, in the car.
Oh, really?
And do you sing along in the car?
Yeah.
So the whole thing just echoing around?
Yeah.
Fantastic.
Yeah. I enjoy it, yeah.
And your favourite karaoke?
I think any Queen song.
You love
anything
Queen.
To do with Queen, yeah. Freddie Mercury, yeah. Anything high-pitched, yeah. Excellent.
Can you do Bohemian Rhapsody?
I cannot for the radio, no.
But you can in a karaoke bar.
Of course I can. Of course I can, yeah. Everybody can do anything in a karaoke bar.
Dad has a karaoke machine in his Tesla.
That's fantastic.
Take a leetrum accent that woman had there. I wonder where she was from. It's a complete mystery. I went to a karaoke bar in London. I was one of the only white people in the room and decided to sing Kanye West Gold Digger again on karaoke. The chorus of that song has the N-word a number of times. How I didn't let it slip while drunk is my greatest accomplishment in life. And someone else says, super renovated karaoke booths in Cork City at the Mardyke pub. Outstanding setup. And they have a large Rage Against the Machine back catalogue on file. That's because some of the, you know, choosing an Amy Winehouse song where that's actually, you know, if you know the original, it involves more, you know, actual singing. Whereas Rage Against the Machine, you can just like.
You could just
shout to it.
Make kind of grunting sounds.
Yeah. Or like your choice of pulp. You know, you can kind of talk your way through that.
I think sometimes these machines, they can be a little bit too, how do I be diplomatic? They could have a bigger range. They could have more American and more British.
You know what's difficult to do as well? It just strikes me now, is mime. To a song.
Well, I can't do the whole, what do they call it? Lip syncing? Can't do it.
No,
I can't mime.
No,
too difficult.
I once... strange You know, you have, as you go through life, you build up these strange episodes you find yourself in. I was in a Joe Dolan video once.
You weren't?
I was.
What were you doing in it? Did you even know you were in it?
No, it was kind of... I think he did an album of covers. Mm-hmm. I think it might have been the last album he did.
Okay, so what's
that? And one of the... one of the songs he did was Brilliant Disguise, that Bruce Springsteen song.
Great tune.
And the idea was that he'd be singing it, but loads of people would appear in the video.
And then you would lip sync.
You would lip sync to Joe Dolan. Now, I think I was in it because the seven other people they asked who happened to be in the RT compound that day said no. So that's...
And
that's,
is it up on YouTube? Can we watch?
I don't know. But it's really hard.
Yeah, no, it's so difficult.
To sync. Now, the only person like Keith Duffy, I think, is in it. He did a fantastic job of miming because he was a pro at...
Yeah, at miming.
At miming. So I had new respect for Boyzone after that.
Well, the miming is difficult, and I know they banned it from Top of the Pops at one point, but it was the... You know, if you watch all those 1980s Top of the Pops, it's just nothing but miming. I mean, there's very few live singers, except for Christopher. He always sang live.
Someone says karaoke bars should be more like sex bars. They should be pulled down screens to protect people's identity. In that place you were in, you did mention booths.
It was booths and there were rooms. It was absolutely spotless. It was beautiful. I mean, it was really classy, sophisticated. And I would bring my folks to it. I absolutely love it.
I
know what you mean. I mean, sometimes you can end up in a place at 4 a.m. and there's nothing but neon lights and you can't see anything.
Yeah.
It wasn't like that at all. It was sophisticated with lovely Japanese cherry blossom everywhere. It's gorgeous.
Yeah. And someone else says, I can't imagine Henry singing. I wouldn't be able to take him seriously. Well, Henry, now's your chance to prove them wrong.
Well, I know this is not going to...
What tune did you eventually decide
to? We ended up going for Billy Joel.
Of course.
And we didn't start the fire. And this is actually much harder than you think. And even though the technology was all there, the words were in front of me, but it didn't go to plan. Here I am with William from Manaki Japanese Restaurant and Karaoke Bar trying to sing Billy Joel.
Okay, we couldn't find that one, so we're going to play Billy Joel. We didn't start the fire. Here goes. We're going to get the microphones ready. Oh, that's loud. Here we go. And the words, they come up on the screen, don't they?
Yes.
Here we go. We're getting started. Okay, any second now. Here we go. So we've got a big screen. Harry Truman, Doris Day. I was too early. Pacific, Walter Winchell. Joe McCarthy, Richard Nixon, Stonet Television, North Korea, South Korea, Marilyn Monroe. Oh, I'm supposed to sing the We Didn't Start the Fire now, isn't it? We didn't start the fire. Oh! H-bomb, Sugar Ray. Oh, I'm not doing well here. Brando, the King and I. Catcher in the right. Eisenhower vaccine. England's got a new queen. There's Barachi. Goodbye. We didn't start the fire. That is hard, William. It's hard. Fire. Didn't light it, but we tried to fight it. Joseph Stalin. Oh, wow. This is so hard.
It is very hard.
There you go, Henry McKean there, proving that reading out loud is more difficult than you'd think.
Moncrief, weekdays at 2 p.m. on News Talk.